basically, like traffic calming methods and whatnot. And actually, that pretty much leads into how got the speed limit lowered for Long Street out in the King Lincoln District. I actually just sent an email to City Council. It was forwarded onto the Transportation Division there. And they looked at it, and because basically Springfield, Missouri, they were looking at basically reducing speed limits on residential streets to 25 miles per hour, which I thought sounded like a really good idea, because you don't really need to be, cars don't need to be speeding down, residential streets anyway, and it would be safer for cycling. And so I just basically passed that along onto them. And they reviewed it, and then I heard back the pedestrian the Transportation Pedestrian Commission for the city. They meet like once every 2 months, so, or once every other month. So they don't really. If you wanted to go over there and attend a meeting, you better do some research first. but basically, they went ahead and looked at it. They suggested it to be approved, and well, it didn't get approved for the 25 mile per hour speed limit. It was just reduced from 35 to 30, but before that becomes official, they have to go through a bunch of legislation, so it's going to take several months. But I mean, it just goes to show, if you just are vocal and just voice your opinion to the city, then they might actually listen and do something about it.
Okay. How can listeners contact the city through the website and address?
Oh, yeah.
Who's a good contact name?
Well, I contacted Lelia Katie. She's O'Shaughnessy's aide. It says on there, like, who basically handles what. So, I mean, like, the Transportation Division would be really good to contact for different matters.
Excellent. So you, how long have you been cycling? What's your history of involvement?
Well, my history, I actually haven't been cycling that long. Probably just over a year. Before then, I just basically cycled around just recreationally, like out in the burbs when I was younger. So it was like a long time ago. I basically just got into cycling through my love of cities. I didn't like what cars have done to the city, and after like living abroad in Spain and traveling around, I just always noticed that I just liked the city better than where I was in the burbs. And so once I came over here, I just I went from being a supporter of cycling, that's really cool, but I could never ride my bike in the street, to just, I ride in the middle of the street all the time now. And it was all thanks to a friend of mine, Craig, and he lives downtown, and I live downtown too. And he basically just chided me, just joking, like, you're such an urbanite, but when are you gonna be, riding a bike? Like, you should be, be a true urbanite. I'm like, I don't know. And I finally did get around to getting a bike, and once I did, I was kind of wondering if, did I just make a mistake? Am I actually going to be riding this around, or did I just waste a few hundred? But once I tried it out, I did start off on the sidewalks, so I was one of those sidewalk cyclists for a while, but then I did the right thing and just jumped in and started riding around the streets. I found it's actually a lot safer. I've avoided getting hit at intersections and whatnot, so...
Excellent. And this was an easy transition, or a traumatic one, or a fun one?
It was actually rather fun. At first, it just seemed like, there's just a huge psychological barrier. But once you pass it, then it's really not a big deal at all. This becomes habit.
So what's your, give me a commuting schedule, your daily biking itinerary, if you will.
My daily biking itinerary.
Because lots of people, they ask me, like, well, where do you go on your bike? And I say, I go anywhere I can, really. And I tell them my itinerary, but let's have you share yours with our listening audience.
All right, well, usually, since it's, during the week, I just start off, on King Avenue, head on down to maybe one of the coffee shops, or if I have an errand or something, I'll just do that too, include it on the way. Hang out there, get some work done. and maybe, I don't know, pick up something at the store if I need it. And I mean, I got a huge messenger bag, so I can just basically carry as much as I can with me. And I mean, since I work downtown, it's very easy. I just head on down that way, and then, you know, at night maybe just stop off at a bar or something on the way back after I bike. But I am in the minority over there. Not too many people ride their bike to their job, even downtown, even though I find it rather convenient. But I don't mind being in the minority. It's just a lot of fun.
So. You had the Briante is a newer bike. You had a yeah. recent one that was in a automobile collision.
Yes.
If you don't mind sharing that and how it, I have lots of friends who have been hit by automobiles, and the motorist kind of got away with it. But in this case, you're able to legally process it, correct?
Yes, actually, he actually stopped too. I mean, it was when I was least expecting it too. I guess I should probably get a mirror just in case. I mean, but anyway, what happened was I was just riding my bike on, what was it, like 7th in the circles over there in Denison Place, just towards Neil. I was at a stop sign. There's a van behind me, and I pulled up to, you know, make sure the traffic was clear, because there's some parked cars. When I looked to my left, I had to, you know, get up over and look over there. And I guess he was doing the same thing, but he didn't look back, like, to where I, because I was right in front of him. He was just looking over there and wasn't paying attention. So when the cars, you know, there was a clear, you know, like little clear space there where there wasn't any cars, he just started to take a right turn, and I was right in front of him, so he rear-ended me. I was pretty upset, to say the least. I somehow didn't fall off my bike. I somehow landed on my feet, and luckily didn't get knocked into any oncoming cars. So,
yeah, that's sort of hard to imagine the physics there.
Yeah.
So did he go and hit, or did he push you?
He just, like, he started to go and just, like, well, just hit me, because I wasn't that far in front of him. I mean, that's why I was so confused and upset. I was like, you know, I was right in front of you.
Did you remain on the bicycle after you were hit, or you got pushed off and landed?
No, I somehow got, like, kind of like off. I don't even know exactly how that worked out. But I just took it back, you know, to the curb to get out of the street, and I was pretty upset. I had I forget what number it was. It was just for, like, I think for, like, speeding cars or something, like dangerous drivers, you just, you know, call and report it. It's a good number to have, but I don't have it on me now. I got a new phone, so that one's not on there yet. But I was able to get a policewoman came over, she checked it out, and the driver actually got cited. And his insurance company helped fund my new bike, so it worked out. I didn't get any sort of injuries, luckily. It was just basically the rear part of my tire that took the brunt of that.
Mm. In a legacy of confusion.
Yes.
I'm glad you're okay, and that it all ended up safe and sound and legal for everyone. We're going to take a little break here from Cranksters on WCRS 102.1 98.3. Low Power FM, your community radio station. I'm your host, Zach Hinkle, and we're talking with guest Keith Morris of the Peach District. Check out our website, WCRSFM.org, for more information. Up next is a little song by local band Six Gallery. The song is called All the Dive Bars in Davenport, and that's by Central City Recording out of Clintonville. Six Gallery, I'm sure they got a MySpace page. Check them out.
We'll be right back.
And that was Six Gallery of all the dive bars in Davenport. Great name by Central City Recording. Six Gallery, I'm sure they got a MySpace page, local Columbus band. And you're back here on Cranksters on WCRS 102.1 98.3 FM, low power community radio. And the service is Simply Living. I'm your host, Zach Hinkleman, once again. Back to Keith Morris, our guest. Hanging in there, Keith?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Thank you. So you're one of what they call the Wire generation. You're always blogging away.
I do.
Typing away. So you run a blog in town that called Columbus-ite.com, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
And it focuses on urbanism, and you incorporate a lot of cycling themes in there.
Yeah, I do definitely try to when I can. Basically, just obviously focuses on Columbus, urban matters. Of course, cycling is a big part of that. And I mean, I basically am trying to cover as many neighborhoods as possible, just kind of having a neighborhood guide that's pretty much trying to be useful. So if anyone's like unfamiliar with certain parts of the city, they can just check it out. It's got like the map there and pictures and little description, so it's all nice and tidy.
I would argue that it's slowly becoming a pretty good documentation of Columbus.
Yeah.
With your pictures.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of places like that, you know, people don't go to normally. Even longtime residents. I mean, you have neighborhoods like, you know, Milo Grogan. I mean, there are even parts of like Italian Village that are pretty off the beaten track. So, I try to provide a complete picture of the city and try to give a balanced view. So, I mean, you'll have some like nice parts, some parts aren't so nice, but I mean, there's a lot to like about the city. So,
what are some discoveries you made while doing your photo blogs?
Basically, just you come across a lot of interesting architecture. Even though I'm not like really a architecture buff, I just have an appreciation for it. So, like, I mean, if you ride around like Old Town East, for example, you'll come across some interesting buildings there, a lot of like the homes, whatnot, and it's just kind of cool just like checking out like there's like the little like different business districts around. And I mean, I try to like just kind of like show how like walkable and bikeable the city is. I even made my own little bike map. I mean, it still needs some work. I mean, but it's kind of hard to try to like get all the streets without having it like, you know, mess up Google Maps and have it load for like.
I think I disrupted Google server once.
Yeah,
on a map I made.
But yeah, I mean, and aside from that, I just try to like take what I've seen like in other cities. I don't know, like ever since I lived abroad in Spain, I basically just like kind of was like you know, everything came clear. Like I already liked like Columbus when I lived out in like Reynoldsburg. I was like wanted to get out of there and just live there. I just like you know, High Street and all the neighborhoods, and that was like where I wanted to be. But when I went abroad, it's like kind of like put it all together, like, you know, oh, you know, it's better when you not have, you know, dedicating everything for cars, and if you just make it more welcoming for pedestrians and cyclists, I mean, it just totally changes and makes the place better.
All right. If what's the website again called for people who want to view your
it's
blog?
It's just columbussite.com. It's Columbus and then a dash I-T-E, ite. And it's I just did on WordPress, and I mean, it's cheap that way.
I also I had the honor of working with Keith on one of the blog entries on the Washington Beach neighborhood.
Yeah, lovely neighborhood.
It was a lot of fun. And would you say you're open if other people were to contact you to say, hey, I want to help you work on a neighborhood that I have interest in, to throw it on your blog?
Oh, definitely. I mean, especially, I mean, there are plenty of places where I'm not really familiar with, too. I mean, like, any place like, I mean, like the Hilltop, I'm not too familiar. I mean, I go abroad, but other neighbor, like the, like little neighbor, sub-neighborhoods within Hilltop, or even like on the further, like, south side, east side, northeast side, it's, you know, I might miss some things that like a resident would be like, oh, you know, that was pretty good, but you missed out a lot of stuff here that you should have probably covered. So do some research.
So columbussite.com, remember the hyphen. You also You're involved with Consider Biking, correct? And, oh, yes. What have you been doing there?
Consider Biking, it's just a really great organization. I joined as a member. It was like, I forget. It was like $15, I think, or something. I think it varies, though, you know, student or
whatever.
There's
different levels.
Yeah. So however generous you're feeling or are able to pay, it's, you know, it helps out. And, I mean, they basically just advocate, you know, for improvements in cycling infrastructure and whatnot. They've done the cleaning of the 670 bike trail, which was, I mean, just absolutely littered with trash and glass. I was only able to make it to the first one, but then it looks like they're doing like different sections consecutively. But I mean, it was just amazing, like all the trash and crap that, you know, if you wanted to ride it, you're probably it's pretty likely that you get a flat within just minutes. But I mean, they've done that. I mean, there's the, you know, they're big part with the Rite of Silence. There is even a potluck, so I mean, some of the events I wasn't able to make, you know, unfortunately. I mean, I work evenings, so like some like planning meetings or whatnot, not able to make it some of those, but I try to keep, you know, stay up to date on what's going on. And I mean, they even have a forum, so you know, you have any suggestions like for what could be done or just want to get involved, it's always a good place to go. Just considerbiking.org.
Right. And another blog you take part in that I'm not that familiar with, Urban Ohio.
Oh, yeah. Urban Ohio, I mean, it's basically, it's a forum, and it just basically, it's kind of like what I'm doing with my website, trying to document, like, the different neighborhoods, except it documents neighborhoods all over the state, especially, like, Columbus, Cleveland, Cincinnati. So, I mean, it's a good place to get acquainted with, you know, the state of Ohio, cover a lot of interesting small towns. There's discussions on urban matters, obviously, policies and whatnot. And there's also, like, I don't know, it's a pretty good place for urban geeks. So,
are you an urban geek?
Probably.
Yeah. We do have glasses.
Yeah, that's a good sign.
Yeah. of geekdom.
Yeah.
Excellent. What other streets would you like to change the speed limits on? And can't be all. Like, if you had to choose three roadways in the inner grid, the inner city, that you would change the speed limit on, a reduction or maybe an increase.
Oh, well, let's see. Well, I'm pretty sure they're all reductions. A couple for selfish reasons. I know when I lived down in Town Franklin, a little sub-neighborhood of downtown, which is basically the only historical neighborhood left that didn't get bulldozed. Town Street there is, I mean, it's lined with homes, it's, you know, residential, but it's a 35 mile per hour speed limit, so I'd like to see that lowered. But I mean, the city is already planning on turning into a bike boulevard anyway, all the way down through Brighton, past Bexley. So the sooner that gets completed, the sooner I'll be happy with that. King Avenue is another one, since I live on King Avenue. And I just get annoyed. Like, I mean, even cars, I'll notice, just get, if they're following the speed limit, which is 25, it says temporary. There's some legal mumbo-jumbo that they have to say temporary. Otherwise, I guess they can't have the 25 mile per hour speed limit, even though it is residential street. There's no stop sign from, like, High all the way to Neal, so, and it's pretty wide street, so of course cars tend to speed on wider streets. And but I ride down King every now and then. I usually use alternatives, but when I do, I just go in the middle of the lane and just keep myself visible. I mean, slow down cars for a couple seconds. I'd rather do that than have them try to knock me over and, like, kind of, like, clip me, so.
And a third.
Third one. Just to annoy people, I mean, Broad Street would be great.
Oh, yeah, I'd recommend that. Broad Street on the west side. You get around, you know, just through Franklinton there, there's parts that are 45.
Oh, yeah. It's a pretty hairy ride. I mean, it's already bad enough when you have to go down the Broad Street Bridge. I mean, it's wide, you can have your own lane, no one really cares, but, I mean, it's a long bridge, it takes a lot out of you, it's a big incline, I mean, that's, and, I mean, that's basically the only major road. I mean, there's Solvent too, but, I mean, Broad's definitely more convenient, especially for businesses and whatnot. They're located there if you're a cyclist.
Right on. Well, we got to wrap up the show, Keith. I want to thank my guest, Keith Morris, talking about cycle blogging, cycle speeds, and cycling here in the capital city. And I want to thank you, Keith, for coming in.
Yep. Thank you very much for having me.
And once again, you're listening to Cranksters. I'm your host, Zach Hinkle. I want to thank you all for listening here on WCRS. And have a good weekend. Peace out.